Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day to celebrate the gifts and the blessings from Almighty God. I know those who have the ability to shovel out fairly quickly and those who are not necessarily afraid of the cold or a little bit of snow on the roads at this point. But what a joy it is to have you all here. I had interviews with the Board of Ordained Ministry. We interviewed six on Friday and six on Saturday in Delmont. And so it was, everybody was a little on edge Friday watching the snow and got home. And I said, oh, it's fine. So we drove to Greensburg to have dinner with Leanna's family. And, well, let's just say it took us quite a bit longer than normal to get home. And then yesterday morning, all the candidates that we were interviewing were all staying in Delmont. So there were about 16 of us that got there yesterday morning out of about 50 to interview those candidates. So that was fun yesterday morning at about 8 o'clock driving on the roads. Once I got to 22, it was good. Wasn't the best, but it was, as my dad would say, gooder than the rest of the roads were. But in the midst of all of that, as we looked out and saw the clouds and everything, to realize that above those clouds, indeed, the sun was shining as brilliantly as it ever does, and that the presence of Christ is shining upon us in the midst of those storms that seem to rage around us. As we share together in worship, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning, everyone. We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. If you can't find that, see one of the ushers and they'll get one for you. As I'm sharing the announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad and pass it to each person in the pew and then back to the center. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call. Now, granted, normally there's many more people here, but it's still nice to give them a call, see how they're doing, see if they need any help, let them know that they're missed. Because regardless of whether it being snow or illness or whatever, we still miss them. And it's nice for them to know that we miss them. You may write any of your prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so they can be brought to the pastor before the joys and concerns. This is the time when we talk about the announcements, the life of the church, and what's going on in the church. I will mention that there are a couple of things in the bulletin of interest, the Super Bowl Sunday, the cancellation policy for church. That tells, for those of you that are curious as to whether we have church on a certain day or not, because of weather, the cancellation policy is there for you. Also, I have an announcement, kind of on what I was mentioning last week. Once again, the Lay Servant Ministry School is coming. It does start on the 14th. If you would like any more information as to what classes are being held or whatever, you can see me after church because I have a list of their descriptions. There's the basic course, the Let's Preach, which is the advanced course. Those are for the people that are involved or interested in being certified lay servants. There are also other courses such as leading in prayer, leading small group Bible studies, discovering spiritual gifts, and missions. All are good courses. The missions course, if you really want to learn something, that's a good course to go to. You get an idea of missions that other churches are doing and things that we don't necessarily think of as missions that are. that churches could get involved in. So if you'd like any more information, you can see me, or you could go to the wpaumc.org/Greensburg for the Greensburg District info. You can register online. That's the best way to do it. Some of the courses, I think they cost like $30 or something like that, but sometimes you can get help from the church on that also. Other than that, Diane has an announcement.
First of all, there's an error in the bulletin. Those of you who are picking up costumes to be ironed, they are to be picked up today, not next week. That was last week's announcement. So they are down in the choir room and ready to go. I am still in need of a couple of more disciples, gentlemen. So if you think that you might like to consider it, come and see me. I'd rather not have to start begging. And those of you who are in the cast, if you have any ideas of people who I can touch or you can touch to fill in some spots, please let me know. Ladies, there is always a part for you in the Living Last Supper as well. We always need help with the set, the table setting, and also with costumes. So if you are able to do any of those things, let me know. The signs will be out in the assembly room next to the pastor's office the 14th of February. And if you have one at home that you kept from year to year, they can go out around that same time. So I guess that's about it. All right, thanks.
Are there any other announcements? Thank you. I'd like to invite all of you to stand and join me in the call to worship. The Spirit is calling. The heavens are shining. The Spirit is moving. Let us pray. Spirit of God, blow through our lives and through our worship. Bind us together in unity and love, that we might be one body in Christ, one body in ministry to the world. Strengthen us with your power, that we might fulfill your call in our lives, a call to love and service. Anoint us with your mysterious presence, and send us forth to be the hands and feet of Christ. Amen. Let us now join in singing All Creatures of God, Our God and King.
Be seated. Well, good morning. Good morning. Are you going to say good morning back? Y'all still asleep? Have you been playing in the snow and having fun? Did you build anything? Snowball? Are you sled riding? Today, maybe? I hated it Do you ever have your face washed in the snow? Ugh. Makes me shiver thinking about it. I grew up with an older brother and a younger brother and a sister. And when we would go outside and tackle each other in the snow, we would scoop up a handful of snow and rub it in somebody's face. That's not fun to do. Well, it's fun to do. It's not fun to be the one getting it done to you. Yeah, it was. I was glad I had my glasses on because then I got protected. It didn't happen all the time. And then we used to do snowballs. And I had a pony. And did you ever have those little toboggans you'd ride down the hill? We used to tie those on to her. And somebody would ride her and run through the fields pulling us. We had like the best snowmobile in the world by a pony. And then you'd go around a bend and it would fly into the bushes and we'd let go and go rolling and just had a blast in the snow like this. We didn't need a snowmobile or anything like that. Can you imagine that? I just watched a video where a tractor trailer was stuck in the snow in eastern Pennsylvania. And you know what pulled it out? There was a young Amish man that had his four working horses. And he pulled the tractor trailer out of the snow. Four horses. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So look here. We've got some pictures here this morning. We've got, who do you think this man might be? That's Jesus, and he's got a book. That's called a scroll. He unrolled it, and he started reading the scripture. And he talked about the promised person coming to help the people and to work with them and live with them and to show them how to live and how to be God's people. And then Jesus said, today, that scripture has been fulfilled, and he rolled it back up, and he sat down, and everybody went, whoa. And they weren't quite sure what to do. And so we need to remember every single day that Jesus is the one who has come and wants to teach us every single day how to live and work with other people, our families and friends and students and in school and out of school and our neighbors, that's how Jesus teaches us to live and work with them. Let's bow for some prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. And we know that you love us and love them and want us to always live as you would live. Continue to bless them as well as their moms and dads and everyone who watches over and cares for them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Today you're going to be collecting for the Race for Grace.
you would all join me in the responsive reading of found on page 750. It's Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. In them, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like the bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy, like a strong man. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Also, keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. I invite the ushers to come forward for God's tithes and our offerings.
gracious God. In wisdom, you provide every gift needed to build up the church. You continually guide the church in every place by your Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Christ. During this week of prayer for Christian unity, help us to recognize each denomination as a genuine witness to the wholeness of Christ's body. In gratitude, we offer our spiritual and financial gifts to support the ministry and mission of this congregation. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, there is our prayer list this morning. You see that the reason that Peggy's not the worship host is that she's in the hospital. Her blood pressure has been wanting to spike dangerously high. And so they've been trying to get that under control now for about the last she went in on Tuesday evening, so we'll want to remember her in our prayers. They have gotten it down, but she's going to be in probably for another couple of days. I'll see her later on this afternoon. Also have here, keep Sarah in your prayers and her family as well. Her pop-pop passed away Friday morning while feeding his chickens. 82 years old. So that will be towards the Rehoboth Beach area, which will be in the thick of where the storm was. So remember her for traveling there to Delaware on this. His services will be this coming Wednesday. So remember her and her family as well. The rest of individuals you can read there, personal care, rehab facilities, continually prayer, those that go on for a month, and our service personnel. As was mentioned, I believe that the storm has moved off the East Coast. I'm not sure what some of the totals were. Anybody know what D.C. end up getting? Close to 30? So now that process of digging out. Deep Creek got 44 inches. So it looks like that we're going to be above freezing this week ahead, not majorly above, so a little bit of thawing will take place, but then the danger of that is that it ices when the sun goes down, and that creates another problem. So for all of us, even in this area, be careful driving at night when that sun goes down and those areas ice over, and you could round a bend and there you go. So all of us just be extremely safe and continue to pray for those individuals that are now doing cleanup and those that have experienced family losses and probably even property damages as well. Our prayer hymn this morning, as we continue to worship, let us unite our hearts and spirits. Number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be gathered together today with brothers and sisters in Christ. We are mindful of those words when the storms of life are raging. Stand by me. And it is good, O God, to know that you do stand by each and every one of us. In the storms of life that we face, those storms, O God, come at us physically and spiritually, emotionally, and they surround us around the world when, well, they are those physical storms that come. And in the midst of it all, O God, you are there. And we know literally over the last few days when the clouds have been dark and stormy, if we were able to rise above them, oh, how gloriously the sun is shining. Boldly and brilliantly on the other side of the storm, it is absolutely gorgeous. And we know, O God, that when we claim your presence and your power in our daily lives and living, that you are the one that offers to us your beauty. You are the one that enables us to hang on and to stand firm and to be firmly and grounded in whatever it is that comes our way. That, O God, is good news to each and every one of us. You are the one that gifts us and calls us to be your church in the world, to live, to share, to proclaim this good news of Christ our Lord. Oh God, we pray for one another. For those sitting on our left, those sitting on our right, those, oh God, in front of us, those behind us, those individuals that we know are absent with us, those, oh God, that we have not seen, and those empty pews. Oh God, we pray that we will be the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears, the voices of your church and your kingdom. Oh God, we know that you also call us to pray for one another, for those in our midst who are hurting, for those, oh God, in hospitals, those who are experiencing the loss of loved ones, for those, oh God, who need to experience your comfort and healing words, for those who are struggling with decisions in life, for those, O God, who think there is no hope, for those who are hungry and homeless, the outcast of society, those who are pushed aside and away, those that the world is not sure how to deal with. O God, we are called to be the church, and to reach out and to respond to those hurts and those needs in a multitude of ways. Oh God, we pray that you will use us this week as individuals and as the body of Christ. May we faithfully yearn and yield for your holy presence in our daily lives and living. Oh God, we pray for each family and individual that is represented here this day and our calling within your kingdom. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Listen now and hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31a. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the, if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, just as God has chosen. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't have any need for you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant, Paul, for the work that he did within the church, for his recordings, his writings, his letters. Oh God, we pray that they might rest upon and take root within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits,
That you, O God, will give us a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Organ transplants have been saving lives for years. And by checking the box on your driver's license or adding a line in your will, our kidneys, livers, lungs, hearts, eyes, skin, a multitude of organs and parts of our body can be transplanted and increase the quantity and quality of life for individuals around us. In today's scripture reading, this epistle, Paul uses parts of the body as an illustration for what it means to be the church. Paul also is looking for a way in which each part of the body will function at its best. The text is a portion of Paul's letter that he writes to the church in Corinth. He wrote two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Like every other church then and now, every church that has been since then, it is made up of a people with varying spiritual gifts. Some of those gifts are for preaching and teaching. Others are gifted in mission and service. Some are gifted with a business sense, and wherever they involved, profits just seem to roll. Others have the gift of caring for the home and family and one another. And rather than seeing these gifts and all of their differences as a blessing, the Corinthian church is wondering, well, which of these gifts are better than the others? And so they begin this bickering in and amongst themselves as to who has the best gift. And they're striving for power within the group. We know this issue all too well. It happens in just about every organization that you are a part of or have ever been a part of. There's that struggle for power. I remember the first church I served on my own. There was a scout group. And I started getting phone calls at 9, 10 o'clock at night that would go on for hours of people complaining about the scout leader. And it went on and on and on. And I knew the church had problems when I was assigned to it. I didn't know I was going to get involved in scouting problems. And I finally realized that it was a struggle play for who was going to be the scout master. We finally had somebody from one of the corporate headquarters come out, and there was this conversation, and I let them talk for a while, and I said, here's the deal. You get your act together in the next few weeks, or I will not sign your charter, and you're out of here. I never heard another complaint. They worked it out. When they knew that everything was going to collapse around them, if they didn't get their acts together, doggone if they didn't get their act together. We've all been a part of those groups or meetings where there's that juggling for power. Maybe even we've gotten caught in the middle of it. We hope that others will see our unique giftedness and appreciate it for us for it. But that's not always the case. We can easily assume when we're reading 1 Corinthians that it's Paul's response to the church that there's been a question sent to him asking him to settle a dispute. Perhaps they have asked him which role, which spiritual gift in the life of the church at Corinth is the most important, and put him in a sense of order, Paul, so we know what the hierarchy is. But rather than ranking the gifts of the Spirit, Paul gives a wonderful illustration comparing each member of the church to members of the body. A group of believers, after all, is a group of different parts of the body of God called to represent the community, or called to represent Christ within the community. Now, on the surface, it may appear that the church is a collection of people who live within a certain distance around the congregation. We all come to the same church on Sunday because, well, perhaps it's become our home. Or maybe we drive a little farther and pass a few churches on our way because, well, we like their worship service better, we like their pastor better, or, you know, during their fellowship time, they have the best coffee. We may attend a Sunday school class or a small group and maybe help with the youth or join a committee, and for most point we think that it stops there. We can get involved as little or as much as we want. And then the church no longer is meeting our needs, or we begin to disagree with the statements coming out of the church, or we disagree with some of the statements that the pastor makes, and we just simply can stop attending. We transfer our membership to another church. We simply detach from the body and join another body where we think we are a good fit. But sometimes, and maybe that's what's happening at the church in Corinth, we find that those that we're sitting in the pews with, well, they're a little different than we are. They just don't quite fit. Perhaps we have a minority opinion or a minority gift, and the interests that are surrounding us are different than most of the other members of the congregation or the church. Perhaps an individual senses, well, I'm not quite with the in-group, and they may feel shut out, pushed away, and unwanted. Church membership and affiliation is not a responsibility that we should take lightly. It's different than being a member of a book club or having a gym membership. You don't show up just to have your needs met. Today's reading demands a deeper commitment from each and every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible teaches us that our connection to one another in Christ is a big deal. We are the eyes The ears, the feet, and the hands. We are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon the body of one another, and we function best when we realize that in the midst of all of our differences, we all work together for the same common goal of making disciples for Jesus Christ. Oh, some of us may be talkers. Others may be thinkers. Some of us are planners. Some of us are doers. Some of us find energy when reaching out to the poor and the needy, and others when ministering to children through Sunday school or the youth program. Some are excited about worship on Sunday morning, while others are called to go outside our walls and to love those who have been pushed away. We think differently because we are different. And that, my friends, is okay. That's God's design and wisdom for each of us. God has gathered us together as the body just how God wants it to be. Our task then is to work together, serving Christ in all that we do. If we would jump back to the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12, we'd see that Paul talks about what it is that makes us one. He acknowledges our differing gifts and then reminds us that these gifts, even though they're different, they all come from the one Spirit from God. We're all made from the cells of one body. And when we come together as the church, we are more than our individual selves. We become a part of that glorious organism that serves as Christ's representatives to the world. We all may be shaped differently, look differently, but we're all made of the essential same stuff. And we are all created in the image of God, and we are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are all strengthened and renewed by the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. We are called to accept our role, to celebrate that those roles are different than the roles of the individual sitting with us here today. And we are called then to use those roles and those gifts for the common good of our calling in the Church of Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit. Today, let us rejoice in our differences. And let us remember the gift of God's Holy Spirit that is living, working, alive, and well within each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us. You have created each and every one of us. And in your wisdom, O God, you have created us to also be different. But you empower us through your same Spirit, gifting us with those gifts and talents to be used for the work of your church, for the bringing together of the body of Christ. O God, continue to bless us and empower us that we might be your faithful servants in the world. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together, number 368, My Hope is Built. Mm-hmm. Gracious and loving God, our hope for the world is in you. You have created us, O God, you sustain us, you give us life, and you empower us through the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that in our uniqueness and individuality, that we might be together through the body of Christ. Send us now, O God, out into the world to be your church, to be your people, to be your disciples to the world. For we go in your holy and precious name. Amen.